بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 27th session reading from التوضيح والبيان لشجرة الإيمان, the clarification and elucidation of the tree of faith by Imam عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله. And tonight we're continuing with that which the author, and in the third section, in which he mentions the benefits and the fruits of Iman. And we have already listed a number of benefits and fruits of Iman, such as the wilayah of Allah al-Khasa, Allah's special guardianship, earning the pleasure of Allah in His home of honor, being protected from entering the hellfire at all, or remaining in it, and several others that we have mentioned in the previous weeks. Last week we mentioned that every action and every deed, its validity and its completion and perfection is dependent upon Iman and Ikhlas. And also that Allah guides those who believe to the straight path and upon the straight path. And I think we also mentioned al-mudafa, that Allah defends and protects those who believe, and He also rewards them with al-hayat al-tayyibah. These are some of the things that the author has mentioned. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to mention the next two or so fruits or benefits of Iman. Before we do that, we're going to look quickly at some of the topics that we discussed last week from the question and study guide number 26. The first question being discussed, the author's explanation of the ayah in the Quran, 17th surah, 19th ayah, that whoever desires the hereafter and strives for it and is a believer, then such are those whose striving shall be appreciated. Yani the meaning of this particular ayah as the author, rahimahullah, explained it. Now, Abdul Wali.
As long as he is intentions is striving for the hereafter, none of his actions will be wasted as long as he has Iman.
Okay.
His deeds will be multiplied.
Naam. Yani the person whose intention, yani man arad al akhira, meaning the intention, the intent in what they are doing is for the next life. Yani in giving preference to the akhira over the dunya. And then they strive, yani, with the effort, with the striving that is due for the hereafter. That is doing the deeds that bring one near to the hereafter, that bring one close to the hereafter. And those are the deeds that has been legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the tongue of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever does so while they have Iman, while they are a believer, then their deeds, yani, will be mashkur, yani, maqbool, mudaaf, yani, they will be accepted. They will be multiplied, and nothing from it will be lost. And this is a tremendous matter, that if a person makes the intent, yani that they give preference to the hereafter over this life, and then strive, doing the deeds that Allah has legislated according to the Sunnah, having Iman, that their deeds will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will be multiplied, and will be rewarded, yani, from the generosity of Allah, which is unlimited, and nothing of it will be lost. The second question, what will be the end result of the deeds or the works which are not based upon Iman? Naam, Adil.
They will be basically deemed weightless and be turned to dust.
They will be deemed weightless. They will be turned to dust. Yani they will be rejected. They will not be accepted. Yani whoever does deeds, whatever they might be, even if they spend the whole day and the whole night engaged in doing deeds without having as the basis of their deeds, the basis of their action, Iman, they didn't have Iman, then their deeds would never be accepted. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the author mentioned, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 23rd Ayat, that he referred to in his answer. Third question, discuss the author's definition of the ruh, yani of Iman, ruh of Iman in Allah and His Messenger. Yani the Shaykh, he mentioned that if deeds are done, the deeds that are legislated by Allah, and they're done by the person who has Iman, that they will be accepted. But if those deeds are not based upon Iman, then they would be rejected. Yani if they are based upon other than Iman in Allah and His Messenger. And he said, the ruh of Iman in Allah and His Messenger is two things. Number one, he said, al-ikhlas. That it has to be ikhlas lil-ma'abood, for the one who is being worshipped. It has to be done sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. And al-mutaba'ah, that it has to be done, yani in accordance, following ar-rasool, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That this, the Iman in Allah and His Messenger, the core of it, the essence of it, it is al-ikhlas. That a person has sincerity in doing that act of worship for Allah alone. And al-mutaba'ah, that they strictly adhere to, yani following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in doing those deeds. The fourth question explained was intended by al-akhsarina amalan, yani in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Kaf, 18th Surah, 103rd through 105th ayat, yani where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, shall I inform you, or shall we inform you, al-akh, yani bil-akhsarina amalan, who are those for the greatest losers in terms of their deeds on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Naam, Siddiq.
And those who be the biggest losers is those who went astray. They're the ones who disbelieve, their deeds will have no weight on the day of judgment.
Naam, those whose effort, yani sa'yuhum, dhalla sa'yuhum, yani the efforts that they made were misguided. They were misguided. And for that reason, yani these people who disbelieved in Allah, disbelieve in the ayat of Allah and disbelieve in the meeting with Allah. And so they didn't do their deeds based upon Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, yani, these will be the greatest losers and their deeds, yani, will not be given any weight on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Their deeds will not be given any weight. Yani, when the deeds are weighed, there will be no weight for those deeds. Now,
the proof of that being a Nur, ayat 39.
Well, the author, he mentioned this ayah in Surah Kaf as a proof of this statement where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that their efforts, yani in this world, would go astray, would be misguided. Yani they will not be on the mark. These are people who disbelieved in the ayat of Allah and disbelieve in the meeting with Allah. So the disbelievers, whatever deeds they do, then they are lost. They are wasted. They are wasted. And of course, there are other ayats in the Quran, lots of ayats in the Quran that prove that the deeds of the disbelievers, and it would be lost, that they would be wasted. But this particular ayat, the author mentions here specifically in this particular place, because, yani, of the things that he mentions here, that these people, yani, very importantly, are people who imagine, they thought, yani, هم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. They are thinking in their account that they are doing something well, that they are doing good. They are doing something that would be yani weighty in front of Allah, that it would be rewarded. But because they disbelieved in the ayat of Allah and the meeting of Allah, so their deeds were lost. Habitat a'maluhum. And their deeds would be given no weight on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The fifth question mentioned the author's comparison between ar-ridda, apostasy, the person who goes out of Islam, and at the khul fil Islam, entering into Islam. Yani the comparison that he made between the person who abandons Islam, who goes out, who becomes an apostate, in comparison to the one who enters into Islam. Now,
the one who enters into Islam, all of his previous sins are wiped out.
Now, the person that enters Islam, all of his previous sins are wiped out.
And the one who leaves Islam, all of his good deeds are wiped out.
And the one who leaves Islam, all of his good deeds are wiped out. Shows the magnitude of apostasy, yani the danger, the severe danger of it, that a person will be at loss, total loss, and the greatness and the magnificence of entering into Islam, that yani puts them in the position to be a winner, yani to earn the pleasure of Allah and His reward. Question number six mentioned two types of hidayah related to as-sirat al-mustaqim alluded to by the author. Naam, Abdul Wali.
The first one is
Sirat al-Mustaqim, ila Sirat al-Mustaqim.
And that's knowledge of the truth. And the second one is in the Sirat al-Mustaqim, about giving gratitude to Allah, making pleased, being pleased with His condition, and knowing that it is It is the decree of Allah.
Okay, so first he said, yani, in the text of the book, the author rahimahullah mentions, yani, that from the fawaid or the yani thamarat, fruits of iman, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides the person who has iman ila siratul mustaqim. And then he said, he used the expression fi siratul mustaqim. And he mentions this in some detail in the tafsir, we read some of it. And here the point is that there's hidayah ila siratul mustaqim, being guided to the straight path. That is, to a person realizing, recognizing, accepting Islam and rejecting everything else besides Islam. Wa fi siratul mustaqim, he said, it is the details of the guidance of Islam, including knowledge and actions. Including knowledge and actions. So, yani here, yeah, he's mentioning that there's a person being guided to Islam, where they accept Islam and reject every other way of life other than Islam. And then when a person has entered the straight path, they have entered upon Islam, then they are guided along that path by being given the details, yeah, of what Allah has legislated, including the knowledge and the action. And this statement by the author, yani ilman wa amalan, also alludes to another explanation that some of the scholars gave in terms of hidayah, and they said that there is hidayah, yani, that is guiding someone to the right way, hidayat al-irshad, and there is also hidayah, yani, that is giving the person the ability to act, to do the actions that they have been guided to, and that's hidayat al-tawfiq. The first of them guiding to the path, yani, the Prophet ﷺ guided people to the path, and the people who follow him can guide people to the path. But to get a person to make a person successful in acting upon that knowledge, to do the actions, that is the hidayah of Allah alone. Only Allah can enable the person, yani, to place in their heart the desire and the intent and the ability, yani, to act upon that knowledge once they received it. So there's, yani, there's ilm, yani, ilm al-haq and amal bil-haq. Knowing the truth and then acting upon it. Knowing the truth, the Prophet ﷺ guided the people to such, and the people who followed in his way, from amongst the ulama and the people of da'wah, who are upon the sunnah, guide people to the right way by that knowledge. The acting upon it is with Allah alone. The seventh question, memorize the ayah, no calamity befalls except by the permission of Allah, in Surah At-Taghabun, 65th surah, or 64th surah, 11th ayah, which was recited in the salat tonight. Naam. As a tremendous reminder to us. Anybody memorize this ayah? Fadl.
ما أصاب نعم نعم ما أصاب من مصيبة إلا بإذن الله ومن يؤمن بالله يهدي القوم
ومن يؤمن with سكون
نعم يؤمن بالله يهدي القوم
نعم جزاك الله خير. يعني this ayah is one of those ayahs that from time to time I'm going to mention, that is really, if a person didn't memorize the whole Quran, there are some ayahs that we need to and hear all the time. We need to recite it in our prayers. We need to review it. We need to read the tafsir. Yani that there's no musibah, no calamity that befalls anyone or anything in this yani creation except illa bi'idhnillah, except by the permission of Allah. This is a tremendous reality. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said it is one of the greatest things that gives a person comfort and rest and satisfaction in life, because everyone is subject to calamities, to afflictions, to trials and tribulations, and no one will have rest from them except the person who knows with certainty, who believes and accepts that everything is by the decree of Allah alone. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ, and whoever believes in Allah, Allah guides his heart. This is the last question. How did Alqama ibn Qais al-Nakhi'i explain, and whoever believes in Allah, he guides his heart? How did he explain the meaning of this? Naam.
He knows that it's the musibah is from Allah, and so because of that he's pleased with it and he surrenders to Allah.
He knows that the musibah is from Allah, and because of that knowledge and that certainty, he's pleased with it and he surrenders to it. And this is a man who is afflicted with a calamity, and he knows that it is from Allah, that the calamity is from the decree of Allah. And therefore, since he knows that, then he's pleased with what Allah has decreed. And this is part of iman. Yani the Prophet ﷺ used to say what? رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا رضيت بالله ربا. I'm pleased with Allah as my Rabb. The Rabb is the what? The one who owns, who creates, who provides, and who controls the whole of the affair. Everything is by His decree. When a person says, I'm pleased with Allah as my Rabb, it includes all of this, including whatever He has decreed. Calamity, affliction, hardship, difficulty, is by the decree of Allah, and I'm pleased with what Allah has decreed. Now,
so He has the whole of it, He has the sabr, He has the and he has the
shukr. Yeah, at least, without going into the details of this, but at least a person has to be patient with what Allah has decreed. If they take it to another level of being pleased with it, being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the calamity that befell them, because they realize that this calamity is a means to which Allah is going to expiate their sins and multiply their deeds and elevate their station. So a person, if they know that, they might be thankful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afflicted them with a calamity. This is some of what we covered last week. And tonight's topic is extremely lengthy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to complete it. Allahumma musta'an. Naam. So last week we said that in the Arabic text of the book that we're reading from, some of what remained from the seventh point has been enumerated as the eighth point in the English translation and in some of the other Arabic Arabic texts as well. And because of its length, we didn't do it last week, so tonight, inshallah, we're going to read from the eighth point in the English translation, which is, I don't know what page it's on. 71. Page 71, now. It's numbered as number 8, and in our Arabic text, it doesn't have a separate number. It's a continuation of number 7. Where the author, rahimahullah, says, وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْ ثَمَرَاتِ الْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ يُسَلِّي صَاحِبَهُ عَنَ الْمَصَاعِبِ وَالْمَكَارِهِ أَلَّتِي كُلَّ أَحَدٍ أُرْضَةٌ لَهَا فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ. This first statement here, وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْ ثَمَرَاتِ الْإِيمَانِ, if there was no fruit of iman, except this, that the one who has iman is consoled, is comforted when calamities and hardships befall them. When they are suffering from difficulties and hardships, when a calamity or affliction befalls them, if there was no fruit of iman, except that iman will be the consolation, the comfort of that person at the time when he's suffering hardship or afflicted by a calamity. And these hardships and these calamities, everyone, nobody is exempted from it. Everyone is subject to it. Everyone faces it all the time. Everyone is faced with it all the time. He said if there was no other fruit of iman than this, then it would be, then he didn't say what it would be. But it's understood what it would be. Then it would be, that would be sufficient. This being a fruit of iman would have been sufficient for a person to hold on to iman, to give, to be diligent in strengthening the iman and increasing the iman. Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, hafidhumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, in his commentary on this particular point, he says, this statement of the author, وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْ ثَمَرَاتِ الْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ يُسَلِّي صَاحِبَهُ عَنَ الْمَصَائِبُ وَالْمَكَارِ, he said that if there was no other fruit than of iman, then that a person is comforted at the time of hardship and at the time of calamities, he said, then what is understood, the rest of this statement, he said, it would have, then that would have been sufficient. This one fruit, the comfort of iman at the time of calamities, would have been sufficient as a dalil, as a burhan of the magnificent affair of iman, of the greatness of the effects of iman, and of the many, many benefits of iman that a person will receive. This would have been sufficient, of the magnificent station, status of iman. If there was no other fruit of iman, that would have been sufficient as a proof of, the importance of iman. Then the author, he says, وَمُصَاحَبَةُ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْيَقِينِ أَعَظَمُ مُسَلٍ عَنْهَا وَمُهَوَّنٍ لَهَا وَذَلِكَ لِقُوَّةِ إِيمَانِهِ وَقُوَّةُ تَوَقُّلِهِ وَقُوَّةِ رَجَاعِهِ بِثَوَابِ رَبِّهِ وَطَمَعِهِ فِي فَضْلِهِ. Yani that a person having the companionship of Iman, yani being accompanied by Iman, and al-yaqeen, certainty, this is the greatest source of comfort from calamities and trials and tribulations and hardships. And it is the greatest thing that would minimize the harm and the effect of those hardships and trials and tribulations. And that is due to the strength of a person's Iman. Yani in other words, Iman being a source of comfort and consolation, and being a means of minimizing the effect of the calamity or the hardship or the difficulty or the affliction that befalls a person, is in accordance with and due to the strength of a person's Iman. Yani the stronger a person's Iman, the greater would be their comfort and consolation at the time of calamities and hardships and difficulties. The greater their tawakkul, their reliance, dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greater will, yani, they will be, the greater will be the consolation and the comfort. The greater their raja, their hope in the reward of their Rabb, and their desire for the favor of their Rabb, the greater is that, yani, hope in Allah's reward for the person who's patient at the time of calamities. The greater, yani, is their desire of the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives to those who believe and do good deeds. Then the greater will be their comfort at the time of calamities and hardships and difficulties. And then the Shaykh, he says, and this is a tremendous statement, that it's not an ayah from the Quran and it's not even a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it's worthy of memorizing. فَحَلَاوَةُ الْأَجْرِ تُخَفِّفُ مَرَارَةُ الصَّبْرِ فَحَلَاوَةُ الْأَجْرِ, yani the sweetness of the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the one who's patient at the time of calamities and the one who believes in Allah and does good deeds, the sweetness of the reward, تُخَفِّفُ مَرَارَةُ الصَّبْرِ, yani it lightens and reduces the bitterness of patience. Yani the bitterness of trying to be patient with calamities, difficulties and hardships. It's bitter. Yani a person is not smiling when the calamity befalls them. It's bitter. But yet, that bitterness is reduced by what? By the sweetness of the reward that the believer expects. When they know that this is, yani, by the decree of Allah, and that being patient with it, or being pleased with it, or being thankful for it, will earn them a tremendous reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this reduces the bitterness of being patient. And then the Shaykh, the author, rahimahullah, mentions from Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 104th Ayah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِن تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. That indeed, if you are experiencing some pain, yani, from the context of the ayat, yani, from fighting, yani, in jihad, if you are experiencing some pain, wounds, death, or whatever a person experiences in the battlefield, if you are experiencing some pain, فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ, then they are also experiencing pain, just like you are. The same, the fear, the danger, the hurt, the harm, all of that you are suffering, the kuffar on the other side are also experiencing the same pain and suffering. وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. But you are having hope, raja, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the reward of Allah, and the help and assistance and support of Allah, which they have no hope of, because of their kufr and denial. Ibn Kathir says concerning this particular ayah, أَنْتُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ سِوَى فِيمَا يُصِيبُكُمْ مِنْ الْجِرَاحِ وَالْآلَامِ. That you and them, your enemies, are equal in terms of what you are afflicted with, of wounds, or pain, or suffering. وَلَكِنْ أَنْتُمْ تَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْمَثُوبَ وَالنَّصْرَ وَالتَّعْيِينَ. But you have hope from Allah of His reward, and His support, and His help, and His aid, as He has promised you this help and this support and this aid and this reward in His book and on the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and His promise, yani, is haq, is true, and His khabar, yani, what He informed you of, is truth. وَهُمْ لَا يَرْجُونَ شَيْئًا مِنْ ذَلِكَ, while they have no hope of any of that. The Shaykh al-Imam al-Sa'di says in his tafsir concerning this ayah, فَأَنْتُمْ أَحَقُّ بِالصَّبْرِ مِنْهُمْ. Therefore you, yani the believers, because of your hope in Allah's reward and His help and His support and His aid, then you have more right to be patient than them. They are not expecting any of that. So if anybody should be patient on the battlefield, it is those who have hope of the reward of Allah and the help and support and aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him and his father. He says here, the author, rahimahullah, is making clear another benefit, a tremendous benefit from the benefits of Iman. And that is, that Iman is a source of comfort for the person who has Iman at the time of calamities and hardships and difficulties. And that is because the musibah, the calamity, when a person is afflicted with a calamity, then their heart, yani, experiences, yani, difficulty, disturbance, alarm. And their rest and their comfort is removed. And they experience, yani, sadness and grief and fear and pain and so many other things. So, فَإِذَا كَانَ هُوَ صَاحِبُ الْإِيمَانِ. But if a person is one who has Iman, then his Iman is a source of comfort for him. Is a source of comfort and rest and relief. So this is a tremendous fruit from the fruits of Iman, yani, that the person who has Iman is comforted at the time of calamities and difficulties and hardships that every human being is subject to in this world. Then he says that the author, rahimahullah, says, yani, concerning the person who has Iman and what is in his heart, yani, the state of his heart at the time that the calamity befalls him, that he has desire, that he has hope of the reward of Allah, and that after this Allah would, yani, follow it with khair. Yani, Allah would follow the calamity with khair. So in that case, this Iman would be the greatest source of comfort. Look at, he says, انظر كلمة الشيخ الجميلة. Look at the beautiful statement of the Shaykh when he said, فَحَلَاوَةُ الْأَجْرِ تُخَفِّفُ حَرَارَةِ الصَّبْرِ. Yani, that the sweetness of the reward will reduce, will lighten the bitterness of being patient with the calamities or the hardships. And that is because if a person has strong hope in the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a desire for what is with Allah that He has in store for those who believe and do good deeds and who are patient with what He has decreed for them, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace what they have lost or what has befallen them, and in the hardship and the difficulty, He will place it with a better condition, and He will reward them after that calamity with a reward. Then all of these ideas, all of these thoughts, yani, of the hope for Allah's reward and the desire for what Allah has in store for those who are patient, and that Allah would replace, yani, He would follow up the difficulty with ease, and He would replace the loss with that which is better than it. These ideas, yani, bring to the person who has Iman a sweetness which removes the bitterness of the pain of the calamity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, as the author mentioned, if you are experiencing pain, then they're also experiencing pain just as you are. However, you are distinguished from them, yani, the Shaykh is saying here, you are distinguished from them with an affair that they will not have, and that is that you have hope from Allah for that which they have no hope of. Yani, in your hearts there is desire and there is hope for what is with Allah. And this hope, yani, the effect of it on the heart is a sweetness and a source of rest and comfort and consolation, yani, for the believer at the time of being afflicted with a calamity. On the top of page 73 in the Arabic edition, the author follows this by saying, وَلِهَذَا تَجِدُ إِثْنَيْنِ تُصِيبُهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ أَوْ مُقَارِبَةٌ وَأَحَدُهُمَا عِنْدَهُ إِمَانٌ وَالْآخَرُ فاقد له تجد الفرق العظيم بين حاليهما وتأثيرها في ظاهرهما وباطنهما. Yani, it is for this reason, yani, the hope of the reward of Allah and the expectation of Allah's support and aid, yani, it is because of this condition of the heart of the person who has Iman that you find two people being afflicted with the same calamity, or calamity that one of them is near or close to the other. There are not much difference in them. Yani, for example, two people are afflicted with the same calamity. Two brothers, same mother, lost their mother, whom they both love. But one of them has Iman and the other doesn't. The effect on the one who has Iman is not going to be like the effect on the one who doesn't have Iman. The one who doesn't have Iman, maybe he'll say, why me, why us, why this, why is God doing this? The one who has iman submits and surrenders. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
Alhamdulillah.
There's a tremendous difference. And here's a brother bearing witness, yani from his recent experience.
Yeah.
The difference between the person who has iman when they lose their mother, and I also lost my mother, you know, may Allah have mercy upon her. Yani the difference between the one who has iman at that tremendous loss and the same yani sibling who lost the same mother, what they experience, it's not the same. Or it may be similar, like two mothers who love their child, both of them lost their child. But one of them has iman and the other doesn't, and the effect is not the same. The effect is not the same. He said, the difference between them, the one who has iman and the one who doesn't have iman, al-farq al-azim, is a tremendous difference between the condition of them and the effect of that calamity on them outwardly and inwardly. And what you see in their behavior outwardly and what's happening inside of them, there's a tremendous difference between them. And this is not mentioned in the English translation of the book. This last line says, وَهَذَا الْفَرْقُ رَاجِعٌ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ وَالْعَمَلِ بِمُقْتَضَاهُ. Yani it's not mentioned in the translation. That this difference between these two people, the one who has iman and the one who doesn't, who experiences the same calamity or a similar calamity, the difference between the effect of it on them inwardly and outwardly goes back to iman and acting upon what is required by iman. It goes back to having iman and acting upon what that iman requires of you. That's what makes the difference between the one who can't bear the calamity that befell them and the one who accepts it. He knows that this is min indillah. Fayarda wa yusallim. So he's pleased with what Allah has decreed and he surrenders and accepts it. Then the Shaykh, he says, وكما أنه يصلي عند ورود المصائب والمكاره فإنه يصلي عند فقد المحاب. That in the same way that a person is comforted by their iman at the time when a calamity befalls them or they suffer some hardship or difficulty, in the same way when a person lose that which they love, when they lose something that they love, then they're also comforted in the same way, yani by their iman. So if the believer loses the one that is beloved to them, الَّذِي تَمَكَّنَ حُبُّهُ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ, and this is not also in the English translation, yani this statement, if a person loses their beloved one, the description of that loved one, he said, the one who his love has taken hold of that person's heart. Yani their heart is fixed on that love. And it's not a passing love. This is a love that is in a person's heart. When that person loses that loved one, not somebody that you like, a friend, but somebody that your heart is attached to. When you lose that one, whether it's your family, your child, your wealth, your close friend, or whatever is similar to that, then that person will be comforted by the sweetness of his iman. وَالْإِيمَانْ خَيْرُ عِوَضْ لِلْمُؤْمِنْ عَنْ كُلِّ مَفْقُودْ. And iman is the best replacement, substitute, yani for the believer from whatever they lose, whatever they lose, yani whatever is lost to them of that which they love. كما هو مشاهد ومجرب, yani as it is witnessed, yani this is something that we have witnessed and this is something that we have experienced. Yani here the author is saying that there are two types of calamities. One is a calamity that befell you, and another one is something that you had that you lost. And he said both of these are calamities. And then he mentions, yani from Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 155th and 56th ayah. I mean, he didn't mention it in the book here, but yani where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that that we will test you with something of khawf and jura wa naqsim min al-amwali wal-anfusi wal-thamarat وَبَشِّرُ الصَّابِرِينَ. They will test you with something of fear and hunger and loss of things that you love, whether it's your wealth or lives or the fruits, but give good news to those who are patient. Those who when a calamity befalls them, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَجِعُونَ. That we belong to Allah and to Him we are returning. And if we belong to Allah, therefore He can do with us whatever He wills. With us and whatever we possess and whatever we own and whatever we love, it all belongs to Allah. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And we are going to return to Allah. Meaning, we accept that we belong to Allah, He can do whatever He wills, and we also acknowledge, accept, and expect our return to Allah and hope for His reward for being patient with whatever He has decreed, whatever He has decided to do with us. And we acknowledge that He can do whatever He will, and we also acknowledge that there's an expectation of reward if we accept and surrender and submit and are pleased with what He has decreed for us. Here the Shaykh, he mentions, the author, rahimahullah, mentions two examples. He says that the loss of that which is beloved in reality is also counted as an affliction, a calamity, a musibah. And then he gives the example first of Ya'qub and then of the mother of Musa alayhi salam. That if it were not that Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam had عنده من الإيمان ما يهون عليه مصيبته في فقد يوسف, if it wasn't for the fact that Ya'qub alayhi salam had the iman that he had, which lightened, which reduced the effect of the affliction of yani being separated from Yusuf alayhi salam, if it wasn't for the iman that he had, the greatness, the strength of his iman, that lightened, that reduced that yani the effect of that calamity upon him, in light of the shiddatu hubbihi al-azim, in light of the severity of his great love for Yusuf, yani if a person considers what type of love he had for Yusuf, and if you consider that he said to the brothers of Yusuf when they wanted to take him out one day to let him play with them, yani just to relax and enjoy and have some fun, and Ya'qub alayhi salam said to the brothers of Yusuf, قَالَ إِنِّي لَيَحْزُونُنِي أَن تَذْهَبُوا بِهِ, yani that it saddens me, it grieves me that you take him with you, that you take him out of my presence. Yani even just to go out and play for a few minutes, yani I'm saddened by that. So if you consider this type of love that Ya'qub alayhi salam had for Yusuf, that to the extent that he didn't want the brothers of Yusuf Edom to take him away out of his presence, to go out and play for a little while, that's the kind of love that he had for him. If you consider that, and you consider that here he is saying that the thing that prevented him from letting them take him out, or that was preventing him from letting them take him out, is that he didn't have the, he couldn't bear patiently being separated from Yusuf, not even for وَلَا سَاعَةٌ مِنْ نَهَارٍ, not even for 1 hour of the day. He couldn't bear being separated from Yusuf. But they convinced him, and they يعني, mentioned to him the reasons why يعني, he should let them take Yusuf out and go and play with them. And the author, he says, from Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 42nd Ayah, لِيَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا كَانَ مَفْعُولًا. And this was so, and Allah allowed them to convince him to take Yusuf, so that Allah would allow that which he had decreed to be executed. Yani it was decreed by Allah that Yusuf was going to be yani taken into slavery, and that he was going to go to Egypt, and that he, and whatever happened in the story. Yani that all of this was the decree of Allah, and it had to happen. So Allah allowed Ya'qub alayhi salam to be convinced by them to take him. So he said, فَمَنْ هَذِي حَالُهُ. So whoever, this is their condition. Yani this intense love that can't even be expressed, yani in words. Would anybody imagine that the person who has this love would yani be able to live for this long period of time that Yusuf alayhi salam was separated from his father Ya'qub alayhi salam? Would anybody imagine that this person would be able to continue to exist without the one that they have loved like this for them? Rather, what is expected is that this person will be heartbroken in no time at all. وَلَكِنَّ قُوَّةَ الْإِيمَانِ قُوَّةَ الْإِيمَانِ وَقُوَّةَ الرَّجَاءِ بِاللَّهِ أَوْجِبَ لَهُ أَنْ يَتَمَاسَكَ كُلَّ هَذِهِ مُدَّةِ. But it was the strength of his iman and the strength of his hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that enabled him to hold on for this long period of time, years. Ya'qub was separated from Yusuf alayhi salam, yani separated from the one that he loved to the extent that he didn't want him to go out and separate him for an hour. And yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the iman and the hope and the reward of Allah that enabled him to hold on for this long period of time until Allah brought relief to him that Allah had promised to those who believe. The second example he gives is likewise, the same situation existed for the mother of Musa alayhi salam. when he was taken down the river, Musa, and her heart was emptied of everything except yani worry and grief and sorrow for Musa alayhi salam. And if it wasn't that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has strengthened her heart with iman, and if it wasn't for the fact that she knew that the wa'd of Allah is haqq, if it wasn't for the fact that she knew with certainty that the promise of Allah is true, then she would have exposed what was in her heart, and she would have expressed openly her musibah. And she would have told that Musa alayhi salam was her son, and then he would have been killed. If it wasn't for what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthening her with iman. ولكن هو الإيمان المثبت عند الشدائد. يعني it is the iman that keeps a person firm at the time of hardships. ومسلي in the المصائب. And the iman that gives a person comfort at the time of calamities and strengthens a person when they become weak and consoles a person that needs to be consoled. So perhaps we're only going to do one today. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and at the end of this point, the author rahimahullah mentions yani a hadith which actually yani could be considered as another fruit from the fruits of iman. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في وصيته العظيمة في حديث ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما الصحيح الذي في السنن. يعني the wasiyah of the Prophet ﷺ, the guidance and the advice of the tremendous advice of the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, yani an authentic narration which is reported in the Sunan, yani in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed and in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi and others, and Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi said that it's sahih, and so did Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, and so did Ibn Rajab rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy upon all of them, said that this narration is sahih, that the Prophet ﷺ said, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. يعني تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ, يعني that a person should get to know, should become acquainted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of ease and prosperity, يعني when things are going well. يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. Then, as a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will know you, and He will be aware of you, will be conscious of you, will attend to you at the time of difficulty and hardship. And this reminds us of the qaida that we mentioned previously, that the author mentioned on at least one or two occasions, الجزاء من جنس العمل. That the reward, yani, is of the same type, is, as we heard in the khutbah today, the word that I didn't hear before, mashallah, commensurate with the action. Yani subhanAllah, that the reward is like the deed done. It is of the same type. It is equal to it. It is like it. Yani it is in accordance with that. So that the person who makes an effort to establish their relationship with Allah when they're in ease, then when difficulty comes, Allah will return that favor. And Allah will recognize them. He will know them. And He will attend to them and care for them when they are in hardship. The author explains this as saying, أي تعرف إلى الله بالإيمان وأعمال الإيمان. يعني get to know Allah through iman. يعني through having iman in Allah and doing the actions of iman, the actions that are required by iman. وأنت صحيح شحيح غني. Yani in my other copy of this book, Arabic edition, it says Sahihun, Ghaniyun, Qawiyun, and perhaps this is the more authentic wording, because this is the wording that Shaykh Abdul Razak, when he explained the book, this is the wording that he read, like this. Sahihun, Ghaniyun, Qawiyun. Yani get to know Allah through having iman in Allah, and what iman requires of the actions of iman. Get to know Allah by having iman in Allah and acting upon that iman. While you are sahihun, in good health, wa ghaniyun, yani sufficed, yani you have what you need, you are without need, wa qawiyun, and you are strong. Yani when you are in your best position, that's the time to get to know Allah, become acquainted with Allah, establish your relationship with Allah through iman, and the actions required by iman, then Allah will know you when you fall into hardship and difficulty. وَيُقَوِّيكَ, and Allah will strengthen you to face the hardships that you're dealing with. وَيُعِينُكَ, and Allah will help you and support you and aid you to deal with whatever hardships you may be faced with. وَأَعْذَمُ شِدَّ تَنْزِلْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ شِدَّةُ الْمَوْتِ وَسَكَرَاتُهُ, and the greatest, the most difficult hardship that will descend upon a believer, that will befall a believer, that a believer will experience, is the difficulty and the hardship of death. And the condition that a person will be at the time of death, the pains of death. This is the most severe hardship or difficulty that a person will experience. Get to know Allah while you are good, while you are healthy, while you are strong, while you are without need. And then when you are in hardship and difficulty, Allah will recognize you, Allah will acknowledge you, Allah will attend to you, Allah will take care of you. And especially at the time of death. The author, he closes this by saying, فَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ بُشْرَى لِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنِ قَدْ تَعَرَّفَ إِلَى رَبِّهِ فِي رَخَائِهِ. This hadith is a bushra. Yani it is good news from the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a bushra, yani that a person is being informed of something that is wonderful, that is great, and that is that if you become acquainted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when your condition is good and easy and comfortable, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you and aid you at that time of difficulty, of distress, of discomfort. And this is, yani, a bushra for every believer. Meaning every person who has iman. Whatever the level of their iman, whatever the strength of their iman, they have some, yani, hope and expectation and anticipation that Allah will give them aid and assistance and support and comfort at the time of hardship. Especially at that worst time of difficulty and hardship, that is at the time of death. In accordance with a person's iman. Yani the greater one's iman, the greater will be the assistance and aid and comfort of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of difficulty. This is a bushra for every mu'min. Know your Rabb in time of ease and He will help you at the time of difficulty, of distress. At the time of this disturbing distress, yani at the time of death, when a person is weak and the shayateen are overwhelming, they want to come between a person and their ending their life upon khair. And at the time of death, the shayateen will come to a person and try all kinds of tricks and encouragements and discouragements to turn a person from away from what they are upon of good. To turn a person away. This is the last chance. If they didn't get you while you were living, at the time of death they're going to come. نعم فإن الله يعينه بتأييده وروحه وروحه ورحمته ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid that person and assist them. He will help them with relief and with His mercy. And indeed, there is no power and no strength except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is, yani, from the fruits of iman, and from the fruits of a person acting, doing the actions of iman, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with that person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help and support and aid that person in their time of difficulty. How much time we have left before the iqamah? 5 minutes. Okay, so the next point that we wanted to mention, and we're not going to mention tonight, but the next point that we wanted to mention, we just introduced, yani, this fruit from the fruits of iman. Yani, it's in our Arabic text, it's mentioned as number 8, in English it's mentioned as number 9. وَمِن ثَمَرَاتِ الْإِيمَانِ وَلَوَازِمِهِ مِنَ الْعَمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ مَا ذَكَرُهُ اللَّهِ بِقَوْلِهِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجَعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ. Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 96 Ayat. Yani that indeed, Yani from the fruits of Iman, and from the fruits of those things that are necessary aspects of Iman, meaning righteous deeds. From the fruits of Iman, and that which is from the inseparable aspects of Iman, that is doing righteous deeds, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the saying, that indeed those who believe and do righteous deeds, Allah will make for them, yani ar-Rahman will make for them, wudda, yani mahabba, mawadda, that Allah will place, yani Allah will grant them His love, and He will place love in the hearts of the people who believe for this person who has Iman and who does righteous deeds. And the Shaykh, he has some beautiful points related to this. And even though it's numbered as one fruit of the fruits of Iman, inshallah, yani we will see that it is more than one fruit from the fruits of Iman, as we explain yani next week, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, what the author mentions under this particular fruit from the fruits of Iman. Rather than racing through the few minutes that are remaining, and this topic is too important for that, so please pardon me. As much as I want to complete this, but at the same time, it doesn't make sense to race through that which is important. It's like a person reading the Quran, for lack of a better example. But it's an example that we experience, especially in Ramadan, how people are racing through the Quran. And the Quran is too important to race through it. And likewise, learning our deen is too important to race through it. But rather, we have to take our time, and we have to read and reflect and contemplate and examine carefully what is being said in these ayat, these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and these tremendously beneficial explanations from the scholars of Islam, and in this case Al-Imam As-Sa'di rahimahullah, but the scholars of Islam in general, their explanations of these matters cannot be done without. Yani we will be at loss, tremendous loss, if we think that we're going to just read the Quran by ourselves and read the books of hadith on our own without the explanations of the scholars. And if this is from the well-known aspects of Islam, and that is yani the position, the station, the status of the scholars. So we have to take our time, inshallah, as we read through this very, very important and beneficial book, yani as we examine these ayat that the author brings, and these ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and these explanations that he's offering to us of this extremely important matter, yani the thamarat of Iman, the fruits of Iman, the fawaid of Iman. Yani that every person who has any degree of Iman can look forward to, can expect and anticipate that these are things that we can earn. Yani to the extent of a person's Iman and the ikhlas, and their mutaba, following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, to whatever extent it is, yani to that extent they can expect more and greater fruits from the fruits of Iman and benefits from the fawaid of Iman by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us inshallah reflect on yani the previous fruits that the author has mentioned, and sometimes maybe share them with one another and discuss them, so that yani they're not lost in our memories that are fleeting. And sometimes we learn something and we enjoy it and we appreciate it, and we might act on it for a little while and then we forget it. So let us go back and review from time to time what we have mentioned, and what the author rahimahullah has mentioned here concerning this extremely beneficial and important topic. And next week inshallah we'll continue with point number 8 or point number 9 according to the English translation. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
What ayah was
Maryam?
Maryam? 96.
And it's mentioned on the next point, point number 9 in the English translation. Point number 9, that's the first thing that he mentions, this ayah from Surah Maryam. And we're going to start with that next week. If anybody was here for the class, we would appreciate that you let us know that you're here by putting your name on the attendance sheet, just so we can know who was here. And that helps me, yani, tremendously at different times when I want to just know, yani, who's with us. And so that if we miss you, yani, then we can reach out to you, because sometimes we get sick and things like that and we miss one another. So let's try to, yani, just keep any consciousness of that.